Before you found. Jesus, the Father of creation. We come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation. For He alone is worthy to receive our adoration. We're here just to worship the Lord. We're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation. For He alone
our adoration. Praise God. I really appreciate having Brother June and his wife from the Philippines and them visiting us several times here. Brother June, would you like to come say something else tonight? I'd love for you to share your heart with us if you feel like it. He pastors a church in Manila in the Philippines. We're going to try to get him in connection with the Brother Holly and the churches over there.
Well, praise the Lord. We are very blessed with my wife. The first time we were here, we felt sweet spirit in this church, even during the worship and the preaching of the gospel. And we thought of coming anytime we have a vehicle to come. We would love to be a part of your church. We appreciate Pastor Smith for praying for us the last time. You know, when you are far away from your church and your loved ones and your family, you just need a place to go to and pray and worship together. And like I said, the first time we were here, we felt the presence of the Lord in our worship together. And more than that, we felt at home in this church. We've been discussing with my wife several times already, and we decided that every time we are in Little Rock, Arkansas, this will be our home church. I had a brief time to whisper a little bit with Pastor Smith tonight, and I said, we look forward for his coming to the Philippines when the Lord opens his way. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak and say a few words tonight. We want to share more about the Philippines and the work we are doing there with the help of the Lord. We brought along with us 12 minutes documentary video. So if you come on Wednesday, Pastor Smith said it will be fixed on Wednesday. And we will shoot that film. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Praise God. Maybe they'll help us round up all the Filipinos in Little Rock and get them in this church. Amen. All right, just take your liberty tonight. Let's see what the Lord has for us.
Starting with the band song. it's really easy sometimes when you play with the band, just, you know the songs and they just get to be. But thinking of the words of that song tonight as we started it, restore my soul in the valley. And it just kind of pricked my heart, and I thought, how many times are we in the valley? You know, what we call being in the valley. You're not on the mountaintop. You're feeling down. And, you know, and we've heard over and over that, you know, the valley is where the green grass is growing and, you know, the river's flowing and everything. But I thought the thought that pricked me tonight is when I'm in the valley, that's the river's there, the water, you know, but if I don't choose to drink, then I won't be restored in the valley. If I don't choose to go to that river and drink. And that's what I want to remember to do. I want to take that message to heart, you know, that those valley times are, that's what they're for. They're to get, you know, when you have the mountaintop experience, that's wonderful. You're feeling good. We all, you know, we've always related to that. But, and you can still get water. You can find the mountain creeks or whatever, you know, but it's not flowing in as abundance. And when I think back and I realize that the greatest touches have been when I pressed in and sought God and maybe even chose to praise through whatever the difficulty was at the time, that's when I really got restored. That's when I really, you know, got that lift. And I want to, you know, remember that and seek out the water, you know, when I'm down in those conditions, you know. And then that song, I will serve thee because I love thee. That's a good reminder, because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes the service, you just can't help but getting to feel like it's a little bit of a burden, you know. When you're serving, we sing Jesus, use me, we sing that song, but how many in here really likes feeling used? You know, how many of us actually get right down to it, when you talk about feeling used, it doesn't feel good. You feel like people are using you. That's not a good feeling. And I've thought about that many times. I think I sing Jesus, use me all the time, you know, and I think I mean it when I sing it, but then how often when maybe he really is trying to use me and I'm just focusing on the people around and just feeling used, you know, and I want to remember that the whole point is I'm serving him, and it's supposed to be because I love him, not because Brother Daniels, as wonderful as they are, not because I'm just out to get all the benefits, you know. It just doesn't work that way. It's I got to be serving him because I love him. And that's what I want to be reminded tonight. And I want to just remind myself. I want to go to that water and get a drink, take a dip in it if I have to. And then I want to remember all the reasons that I should love him. Because we are blessed, as the other song was singing. We're blessed. And if I can't remember that, then I'm not going to stay out of the valley. I'm going to constantly be searching out that water and needing a drink. But I need to be reminded of my blessings. And there are many. There are many. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for what he has done and is still doing for me and keeping me and letting me be a part of his people.
First of all, just say, I have been so blessed. Coming down here yesterday, closer we got past Russellville, closer. Songs started coming into my heart, and I said, oh, I'm almost a Little Rock. And I got downstairs, nothing to entertain me. I said, I don't care. I'm in the church. I'm in the Gospel Assembly Church. And as y'all know, when we moved to Rogers, we didn't like it. And about a week before David passed away, he was sitting on the couch and he said, Brenda, he said, I never thought I'd miss that church in Little Rock, but he said, I love it. He said, we're going back home. We were going to go back home, and we were going to call the movers and have them to come and pack me and move us that week that he passed away. And after that, I tried my best. Brother Smith knows how hard I tried to get back down here. Brother and Sister Maines knows. I put my house up for sale, no offer. No one tried to buy it, but they'd look at it. And as the story goes, yes, I have a story. And in October the 24th, I was putting some boxes up in the attic, and one fell backwards, and I stepped back to get it. And when I did, I fell. And when I fell on this left leg, my femur bone. And I could have, the way I was standing, I could have fallen on my back and broke my back and been paralyzed. I could have broken my neck and be dead. But God had mercy. He spared my life. And somehow my body twisted and I just landed on the leg. I didn't land on my shoulder or anything, just on the leg, and I heard it crush. I could hear it go. And I was so calm, and I turned over on my back and I started calling out that precious name of Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. And I felt the sweetest spirit come into that garage, and I felt peace. For that first time in months, I felt peace. And I called my son. He had just left. He never comes over for coffee. Still doesn't. But he came that morning, and he felt like he needed to come. And he had just left. When I called him, I said, Jeff, I have fallen and broken my leg. Call the ambulance. When he got there, he said, the ambulance was loading me up. He said, Mother, we're taking that sign up. I said, yes, I know it. It wasn't God's will for me to move for some reason. Little by little, I began to see some of the reasons why I'm there. And most of it's for me. After listening to Brother Smith today talk at the Bible study, and today, it really shows you where you're standing with the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, because I believe that all of it that Sister Lynn was talking about, the valley, the song and everything. I've been in the valley, but let me tell you, the Lord has blessed me. He has kept me. He has kept me. He's blessed me. And even after getting well with my leg, and another thing, I was so thankful that I was able and willing to go. I was more than willing to go to the Dominican Republic with the church. That was such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I tell people about it. And I came back on cloud nine for about 3 or 4 weeks. But you know what? All of this that I've gone through for a year and a half, almost 2 years, God knows where I'm at. He knows what He's doing with me. I've just got to have a willing heart. I've got to open my heart, have a willing mind, and listen to Him knock as I knock, listen to His voice, His small voice. And I tell people, I tell some people, they're not in the church, my testimony. And about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I went to a beauty shop with my friend next door. I've got some wonderful neighbors. And this young man was fixing my hair, and I didn't tell him I was Pentecostal, but I did take a picture of me so he could see how I wanted my hair, how I wore my hair, but I still didn't tell him I was Pentecostal. And he started talking about church, And he was raised in the a different denominational church. And but he said when he was about eight years old, the Lord started dealing with him. He was not in a Pentecostal church. But the Lord started dealing with him when he was 8 and a half to play the piano and become a piano player for Pentecostal Way, play the Pentecostal music. And as time went on, he went to church with me Sunday night. He plays that piano you wouldn't believe. He can play Beethoven. He play anything. He's never had a lesson. Never had a lesson. And it's amazing. He does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he asked me, he said, what can I wear? And I said, well, the young men in our church on the platform wear suits. But I said, you come, because he don't like to wear suits. I said, you just be comfortable. I said, we do not wear shorts in church. I said, that's one thing we do not do. And he came, and after church, they got up on the platform. They started playing that piano, and we had a jam session. He said, I love this church. He said, I have not found a church that I've been comfortable in yet. So maybe the Lord will deal with him. And he said, I will be back. And I thought when Brother Smith was talking today about being faithful and living your Christian life the way we've been taught, and yet we're still not doing 100%. I'm not. But by God's mercy, I'll get there. But I do have a story to tell. And if Brother Mike will play the piano and Sister Lynette will help me sing it, this is my story. This is my soul. Let me tell you, for a whole year, praise the Lord, He has been so good, y'all, just to know that you can praise Him. Have the opportunity to lift your hands and know He's there to reach you. And this service, oh Lord, let me tell you, I don't know if I'll ever go back to the Rock. I may stay here. I just may stay here.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Whispers of love. express submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting.
Getting hooked up there. Some of you may have noticed back in the foyer that some of the people there in their church prepared some pastries, goodies, and they had some left over and didn't sell them all. And so they asked me about bringing them. I told them, bring them all. And they're back there on top of the cabinet there in the foyer. And they said that they're just for a love offering, whatever you feel to give. So let's help them out. They won't be any good if they somebody doesn't do something with them, get them in their possession and eat them. So let's help them out. After church, they'll be back there and on the table. So just, they said, for a love offering, whatever you felt to give. So they're back there. All right. That's Brother Cole.
feel the wonderful touch of the Holy Ghost here tonight. I like this little saying up here. Watch the Spirit. It's something we constantly need to do. And listen to the Spirit of God. This morning in our church service, y'all don't know me real well, but sometimes, every once in a while, I'll get in a singing mood. And some of them get a kick out of it when I get in that mode. This morning, as we were singing them songs, Holy Ghost started moving. Started touching people. We started at 9:30 in the morning. Before we knew it, it was 20 till 12. And the Lord just moved and just flowed. It was like waves. It's like waves. And sister, that's a beautiful song. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Some of the most precious songs that you'll find in the song book will be from that lady that wrote that song up there. She was blind, but she had a love for God. And there's something about singing, and I love preaching. Believe me, I love good preaching. I love good teaching. But I love singing. And so many times in the book of Psalms, there's so much in there about singing. Of course, Psalms is singing, or songs. And there's so much in there relating to David's adversity and his enemies and how he called on God and how he praised the Lord for helping him over his enemies. And of course, there's other songs of Asaph, and different songs in there, but so much praise, so much singing. And I found that when I'm not where I need to be, I can just start singing a song. I'm not talking about a song out in the world. But I can just start singing a song. And when I start singing it, naturally I'm just singing words. But after a while, something grips me. You know, one of the things that really got me when I came around the body of Christ was how when they sang a song, Brother Smith, they sang it over and 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 over. And I found out the reason for that. Took a little bit. It's because for a little bit, you're just singing it. But after a while, when you start singing it, you start thinking about the words of it. And then when you start thinking about the words of it, something starts welling up inside of you and you start getting yourself caught up in that song. Hallelujah. And when that starts gripping a hold of you, then your worship starts coming. Amen. And then you start feeling that release of whatever bondage you're carrying and whatever things that you're dealing with. Sure, they're there still, but you've got somebody to help you now because you're starting to praise the Lord. And when you praise the Lord, amen, God starts moving in your behalf when you praise Him. Praise God. There's all sorts of songs. Your slow songs, fast songs. Songs about the Lord coming back. Songs about taking sins away. Songs about the blood. Amen. Songs about being happy. So many songs, but you know what? I love to sing about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that needs to be worshipped. Jesus is the one that needs to be adored. And we were just worshiping the Lord this morning. And I told the people one more song. One more song. And I lied this morning. And I need to ask the church for forgiveness. One thing just really grips me. I used to be in church and preachers say, 5 more minutes! 5 more minutes! Yeah, one more verse. And that one verse took an hour. You know what I'm talking about. Or 5 more minutes turned into many minutes. I don't want to confine God to 5 more minutes. And I don't want to confine God to do just something in a short period of time. I told church this morning, you know what? Look what time it is. God doesn't look at time. God doesn't even have a time clock up there. We do know that when there's a time things in God's mind that when there's a fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. But it was a fullness of time. It had to be at the right time. And when this gospel preached to the whole world, then the end's going to come. We know that. But God's not confined by time clocks. God's not confined by weather like we are. I was listening to someone talk the other day. Someone moved up, I think it was up in Washington or Oregon, somewhere up there. And that rain came all the time, and rain came all the time, and they weren't used, and it drove them bonkers. And they got depressed in their spirit because of the rain. And you know what? You know what? That, maybe that's why there's a song in the songbook, "Oh, the land of a cloudless day." I don't know if that's the reason why that song got wrote or not. But there's so much to thank the Lord for. I thank God for singing. I thank God that He knows about our situations. He's concerned about our situations. He doesn't have a deaf ear when we call out to Him about our situations. He knows what we're going through. And we think, well, why, God, if You know what we're going through, why aren't You doing something about it? It's not time yet. It's not time yet. We're just so time-orientated. We're so time-driven. 6:17 and counting. We're so time-orientated. I don't even know why I got an alarm clock sometimes because I hit the snooze button. Actually, it's my cell phone. I'm not over there on the nightstand, and I'll just hit that okay button for 5 more minutes, Sister Tally. Hallelujah. It's not preaching either, because you know what? 5 more minutes come by and you hear that noise and trying to get you up. But I hope we listen to the Spirit and don't hit the snooze button on the Spirit. I hope when the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God tries talking to us, we listen to the Spirit. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so if you look at it the other way around, if you're not willing to be led by the Spirit of God, you're not His son. And I want to be willing, and God's got a unique way of making us willing, doesn't He? You know that the shepherd, when a sheep would constantly wander out of the way, you know what that shepherd would actually do with that sheep? He'd break its leg And then he'd carry that sheep for a while. I learned that from a book. I've got it at the house. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Good book. Philip Keller wrote it. And that shepherd would break that sheep's foot, that leg, and carry it around. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms where David said that the bones which thou hast broken, bones that thou hast broken. How does that go? See, I've done. My mind went crazy. The bones that thou hast broken might rejoice. Is that how it goes? But God breaks us sometimes to make us willing to do what He wants to do with us. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost was so strong this morning. And I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah. God's moving. God's doing a work. Amen. Can I sing a song? I've got to sing a song. Hallelujah. And I promise, well, I better not. I don't want to lie. It's two flats. I guess I this or the other. Use this. You shut me off. All right. Amen. Two flats. This one here. Praise God. Hello, 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 hello. I am on? Okay. I can't hear me. All right.
Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials of fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I'll all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I'm anchored in the rock of ages. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored, oh, I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored, yes. Woo! I've anchored in Jesus. There's no wind, no way. I've anchored in Jesus. All he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life I'll bring. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's good to be here tonight. I am thankful for the blessings of the Lord. I am thankful that I've got an anchor. When the storms of life start blowing and you feel like you're going to be tumbled over and smashed to pieces, that you've got an anchor to hold on to. Thank you, Lord. I am very thankful. A few weeks back, Brother Coles and I had a chance to get away for a couple of weeks. And it was the first time that we've got to do more than just two nights. It's actually the second time since my mom had the stroke. And it was, I tell you what, I know how Sister Smith feels, because I've been there, still am with her. But you come to the point where you feel like you don't even exist. You feel like you're dead. You don't even have emotions. you feel like you're just going through life, and you don't, you really don't even feel anything. Everything is just so blah. And I was to that point, and God was merciful and let my parents' house go ahead and sell so that we could get a caregiver to stay with them for a couple of weeks where I could get out. And by the time we got to Roanoke, Virginia, Brother and Sister Finnegan, we got there on a Tuesday night, and they had prayer meeting. We got there just in time for prayer meeting. And I found myself a place to pray away over from everybody, and I just found myself just weeping and just crying because I needed just to cry. I needed just to let out before I could even feel the presence of God like I needed to feel His presence. I just needed to cry. And Sister Finnegan came over and put her arm around me and cried with me. And it was the beginning of being able to come back alive again for me. The 2 weeks that we took, it was like God began to breathe life back into my soul again, because I felt like I had lost it. Even the trip, I had a couple of incidences that I thought I was going to have to turn around and come back because of my dad. But I'm thankful that He gave me those 2 weeks. I'm thankful that He loves us and He gives us a peace in the midst of the storm. And had I not had an anchor in Him, I think I would have toppled over already and have lost it. But God has been so very good to me. I thank Him for His blessings. I thank Him for His love. I thank Him for the move of the Holy Ghost that we have going in our church. I'm so very thankful. I'm humbled at the part that He's come down and visited us in such a real way. I am so honored that God would choose to let us have His presence in our midst. And this morning was just such an awesome, just a wonderful, just a downpour of the Holy Ghost. And y'all got to meet Sister Shirley. She's the lady that testified the last time. But Sister Shirley told me this morning, she goes, I've never been in a service like that before, you know. They've never seen me shout either, but they did this morning. But, you know, I'm thankful for the release in His Spirit. I'm thankful for the blessings that He's given us. And I just want to praise Him, and I want to lift Him up. Whatever I do, I want to lift Him up. I want to reach out and to touch other people. You know, numbers is not what matters. What the number of people you have in a church is not what matters. What matters is if the Spirit of the Lord is there and if you're doing His will. Because I see God beginning to add daily to the church, and He's sending people to us, the ones that really want to be there. Brother Coles and I, years ago, felt like that, well, we just had to have this one and we had to have that one, and it broke our hearts if that one left or if that one didn't stay. We just felt, but now that we understand God's ways, we understand that sometimes there has to be a cleansing, and that sometimes there has to be a different way that God moves, and we can't just decide for ourselves, well, this is one I want, well, I don't want that one. God sends people, and it don't always come in the best of shape. They come to us in all different kinds of circumstances. They got all kinds of problems. They got situations, but that's why they come, is because they need help. And if we don't have the help that they need, we're failing. And I want to be able to reach out and give of myself, and I just praise the Lord tonight for His blessings. I thank Him for His love.
the Lord. I remember when we were in the first church we were in, when we first got saved, I would lip sing in the congregation. I never would sing. Sang or sang. So, this week, this song always has comforted me. And it seems like lately there's a lot of storms going on with Sister Elsie, Brother Durham, the loss of my sweet Jill, and then with my mother-in-law. I haven't been able to go to church much. But you know what? And yesterday morning I had a nurse come out. I didn't know they came on Saturday. Said, sweet Baptist girl, I'm telling you, we had church right there, just the two of us. We were bawling and squalling and talking about the Lord, and I felt like the Lord sent her to me that day. But I was telling her about how God's been good to me and through everything, and we got to talking, and we both were crying, and I thought, I hope I can see this on this deal. Y'all have it up there. You better put it up there, because I'm going to try to sing this song here. Well, you've been in the storm, and it seems like forever. Your night of confusion has been all so long. Your ship's lost its anchor, and the storm has come. Your storm, ride out your storm. God's right here with you. Oh, He'll never forsake you or leave you alone. You're hurting now, but you're mourning. Jesus, and ride out your storm. Remember His promise. He said He'd never forsake you. Though the waters be raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Oh, hold on to Jesus. Yes, and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right here with you. Oh, He'll never forsake you. Or leave you alone. You're hurting now, oh, but your morning is coming. If you'll hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Jesus. been in the storm, and it seems like forever, and your night of confusion has been oh so long. Your ship's lost its anchor, and the storm's got you. Anybody does it without Jesus. I don't know how they make it through each day without him. He's good to us, and I love him. I appreciate him looking down on me as a little girl as I walked to that little Baptist church 2 miles by myself every Sunday morning. And I was telling this little Baptist woman yesterday, I said, then one day somebody noticed me, and they started driving me to church. And I used to walk on Sunday nights to Training Union, and how much the Lord looked down and saw my heart, and I just appreciate it. And gave me my husband, who was raised in church and taught me so much and was so patient with me. Boy, he had his hands full. It would have been much easier if he had stayed in church and married a sweet little Pentecostal girl, but he didn't. He got out in the world, and he got a tiger by the tail. Bless his heart. Oh, I'm just so thankful for my life. I'm just so thankful. And I was telling Sister Brenda, you know, when you can't come to church, Sister Colt, you just feel so blessed when you get to come. And I appreciate everybody here for praying for us. Mom was a little better this afternoon. She seems to take 2 steps forwards and 10 steps backwards. And I just had to come tonight, and I just appreciate every one of you.
wanted to give the Lord a praise and thank everyone for praying for my mother. It's been two weeks maybe ago. She was on her way home from church and was driving down the road, and she didn't pass out, but she blacked out, and she just couldn't see while she was driving down the road. She's on her way home from church, and she's thinking, okay, I'm driving down the road and I can't see. And she said there were cars behind her and cars in front of her, but she said she got to figuring it out. It was probably just only about 10 seconds, but it just seemed a lot longer before she was able to see enough to pull off over the side of the road. And, you know, and I thought, you know, I really am thankful because, you know, there could have been, you know, someone right beside her. If she could have slammed on her brakes, or she could have overcorrected, or, you know, or anything could have happened. She could have rolled her car, or, you know, or ran in, you know, I mean, she was on the highway. And I was just so thankful that the Lord kept his hand on her. And you know, and it was just some medicines she takes for, you know, she does have congestive heart failure, and she has to take medicine and all that for that. And so they just kind of regulated that a little bit. And so it seems like that's what it was. But she was just so thankful for the Lord keeping his hand on her, and, you know, and God's done so much for her, and she's been, you know, she's survived cancer twice, and just been through a lot, and raised four kids. You know, my dad passed away when he was 43, and she had four kids at home, and you know, and the Lord just really touched her, you know, and I just am thankful to have that example of her, of how no matter what you go through, and that God will be there. And I've seen that in Sister Smith's life. She's been such an example to me of how not to use what happened in your past as a child to use it as an excuse not to get where you can be. And I just appreciate the examples God has put in my life, like Brother and Sister Smith. They're just like my mother and father, and I appreciate them so much. And I don't tell them often enough how much they mean to me, and what they just always being there and treating me like their own. And I just appreciate that so much, and how much I appreciate the Lord just always being there for me. And like I've always said, through everything I've gone through, and as a child, you know, a lot of times I did feel alone and not anyone to talk to, but the Lord was always there, and I could talk to him just like I'm talking right now, and I felt like he was just right beside me all the time. And so I know that he is faithful. And Brother Jeff, like you said, sometimes you just got to pull yourself up. And I've had to do that, you know. A lot of times, you know, when you just feel like you can't go on any longer, but then when you have a responsibility in church and you have to do that, sometimes that's just what you need to, like, okay, I don't feel worthy to do this. I don't even feel like I can take another step, and I'm supposed to be, you know, the one leading God's people in this, and he just is there so faithful every time to pull you out and grab you by the hand and help you on. And I'm just so thankful for where I am today, and I just think of all the things that have happened in my life, and how God's just been with me every step of the way. And you know, and just getting married so young, and I don't recommend it to anybody, but it's what I needed, because I know I would not be here. I don't even know if I'd be alive. I know that I just came to that road in my life to where it was like I needed somebody to show me that there was a purpose for living for God, or I was out. And I found my husband, and he didn't care what people thought, but he worshiped the Lord, and he loved the Lord. And I needed that in my life, and I'm so thankful for how God blessed me. And he's kept his hand on me. I am not worthy. But I am so thankful that I don't have as many scars in my life that I could have had. And I learned from other people's mistakes and seeing different things than they went through. And I thought, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be like that. And I've had my struggle, you know. I'm by no means anywhere close to perfect as I should be. And I'm not 100% in doing what I know I should do. And I know I need to do better. But I really desire your prayers. And I'm just so thankful to know that God is there, and I want to keep moving on. You know, I'm thankful the Lord knows my heart and knows that he is my life, and he is my reason for living. And I just really appreciate the Lord.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for the love of God that I feel in my heart. I'm thankful for this house that we have to worship in. And thankful for our visitors. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to somebody said we have all the time we need, just no time to waste. And I want to value, I want to treasure what the Lord has provided for us. It always amazes me how the varied backgrounds that we all come from and how that the Lord has brought us together as a church, as a family. And it particularly interests me the joy that we bring each other because we do come from such varied backgrounds and so many different interests and personalities but that's just like God. God just mixes us all up to learn and grow from each other and develop. And you know, you can take, just for my own self, I know there's others probably would bear witness. But you can take a person that has no direction, has no perspective on where I should be, what I should be doing, how can I make the most out of my life? But you put them in the body of Christ, among God's people. And it won't be long and you'll feel a desire or a hunger to learn a new trade, learn an instrument, learn how to testify, learn how to sing, learn how to cook, learn how to serve or help. There's such a provocation among God's people to learn and grow and study and read and develop that it just amazes me. We're not in this to just kind of move along and get along. We're in this to change. We're in this to become, I say this prayer often, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. That's a daily prayer that I say. And whatever, Lord, I want to be willing. And it just amazes me. You know, you can take somebody, Brother Angelo used to say this often. Ralph Angelo, I heard say it often. May have been others. But he'd say, God will take somebody from the guttermost to the uttermost. And you can take somebody that absolutely has no future, that has no vision, and let God begin to touch and shape and mold their life. This week I was listening to a song that was sung recently. I can't think of the name of the song, but the words were, Sister Cindy Smith sang it, talking about that the potter knows the clay. And he knows how much time that we have to be on the wheel to shape us into his will. And I had listened to that song. I think that's how the words went. I hadn't gotten that play on words. I like, you know, things like that. And but here we are. We're, and Sister Weiniger, she'll read that poem every now and then about the potter's touch. And that's who we are. We're, you know, if you remove us from this setting and you remove us from our nice clothes or our combed hair or our polite, you know, manners, if you remove us from all that, we're just a pile of dirt. We're just clay. We're just mud. We're just shapeless, mindless, numb, ordinary human beings going about living for ourselves, doing our own thing, and not minding anything about what God has in mind. That's who we were. There's an old song. I can't think of it, of how all of it goes right now, but it's talking about how that I'm thankful that I'm not who I was. And talking about how that, you know, the father would come home and his little boy would be hiding behind the door because he was scared of him. You know, we live in a time when and people are violent. Lots of violence in the world. The carnal nature is selfish. And the Bible says what does it say? Selfishness is as cruel as the grave? Or jealousy is as cruel as the grave? There's such a selfish and strong nature that works within the heart of man that that we absolutely need a birth and a death. We need the death of our will and the birth of Christ's will within us so that we don't, God help us not to fulfill that scripture. We don't want to fulfill that scripture that says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Just like when the two women, one woman in Solomon's day, I believe it was, and there's two women and one lady, she was sleeping with her child and she rolled over on top of her child in the middle of the night and she killed it. And then she went and swapped out her dead baby with another lady, a live baby. And the two women woke up the next morning, you've heard this story, and this woman wakes up and she sees this dead baby in her bed, and it's not my baby. And then she sees her baby. Can you just imagine the shock and the anguish? My Lord. Whew, I don't know what I would feel at a moment like that. See somebody holding my child while I'm sitting here with a child whose life's expired. But anyway, they had a dispute. The dispute was great, and the Bible says that jealousy is as cruel as a grave. That woman, she had a baby, but her baby died. But she was so covetous, she was so jealous of having a baby, that she went and stole a woman's baby and then claimed it as her own. And then so, of course, they had a dispute, and Solomon, he was such a wise man, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong. And he said, I don't know whose is whose. How would you know? They didn't have DNA testing or anything like that. They didn't have birth certificates. Not that those do any good, it seems like, nowadays. But how would you know? He said, take that live baby and cut it in two and give half to each mother. Well, now that's brutal. I don't care how you look at that. So the woman that had the dead baby, she said, okay. But that woman who the baby really belonged to, that woman who really loved that child, that mother of that living, breathing child, she said, no, 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 don't do that. Just give her the baby. Well, Solomon knew right then who was the mother and who wasn't. We live in a brutal world. We live in a world where I think a man got killed here and only had like $20 in his pocket, getting robbed. That's the world we live in. And it's not so different than what the world has been. But we hear about it, you read about it in the news and stuff like that, and it just shocks you. It just amazes me how people can be so violent and disgustingly jealous and envious and just thievery and murder in their hearts. It just blows my mind that people could be that way. But you know the truth of the matter? I shouldn't be surprised, because it's just the carnal nature of man. And you know the truth of the matter is that just as easily it could be me if God hadn't brought me in here and helped me. Understand that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The Bible says, it's not subject to the will of God, neither indeed can be. Get that. It said it's the carnal mind is not subject to the will of God, and it cannot be. It's totally adverse. It's absolutely against the will of God. The carnal mind. Jesus told His disciples, He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Brother Smith went over that in Romans, Romans 12? Romans 8. He said, have your mind renewed. He said, to have your mind renewed. Oh, Jesus. I want to be renewed. I've told you this. I need to tell y'all something good. I told you a bad report one time, and I don't know that I've ever told you the good side of it. I might have, and if I have, you bear with me and put on charity if you need to. I worked for a man that he took all my good resources. He took my people. He took my programs, and he made them all his own. And I just had, I didn't know what to do. And he made a wreck of them. Total mess. And to the point, and then they'd make a mess, and then they'd bring it to me to fix it. I had a fix. That's what I want to tell them. Look, I had a fix before y'all took it. Then you took it and messed it up, and now I got to refix it. And so anyway, I went through some real changes on my job, and the Lord really helped me. He really helped me to see why. I don't understand altogether why, but I've got a point here, so bear with me. Anyway, I just got to a point where I had to humble myself under that leadership. And I just quit fighting. I just quit telling them how wrong they were. And I benefited from that because I could see, and this is going to sound, please forgive me if this sounds conceited or arrogant because I don't mean for it to be, but there is a lesson in it. I could see where they were going to have a train wreck before they had it. I knew they were going to have failures in their systems before it happened. But they wouldn't listen. I couldn't tell them because they wouldn't listen to me. But you know where I benefited from it? I benefited because when that wreck occurred, I was already prepared. I could already fix the problem. I was already Johnny on the spot. I was ready to go whenever the failure happened. Because I could see it happening. I could see it was going to happen. And so I had everything ready to fix it. But I'm going to tell you, it took me about 2 years to get that lesson. It took me about 2 years to just appreciate the fact that this is how it is. If you'll just accept it, there's still good that can come out of it. And I found the good out of it. And I thank God for that. That was a good side of a story that I had told y'all about 4 or 5 years ago. But the reason it came to my mind is because the Lord helped change my mind. He changed my perspective on how I was dealing with what I perceived as a problem. It no longer became a problem, but it became an opportunity. I want to encourage you, if you see things that are negligent, if you see things that are lacking, if you see things that you wish could get done, or you see things that you wish you could do, just start preparing. What's that saying? One of the greatest abilities is availability. One of the greatest abilities is availability. If you are thinking about something that needs help or attention or something that you wish could happen or do this or do that, make yourself available. You know, if you need a prayer, use mine. I took it from somebody else. Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. That's my prayer. I want to encourage you to make yourself available to the Lord. And don't let jealousy or envy or strife or any of those things lay hold on your life. Let your mind be renewed and let it be filled with the love of God. The Bible says that charity is the bond of perfectness. Oh God, if there's one thing that'll bring us to peace and harmony with each other, it's the very act of charity. Praise God. Be encouraged, dear saints. God has brought us to this house, to this setting, for a reason. He's brought us here tonight to bond us together in charity, to help us to work and labor in love so that we can serve God's people. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is, this calling, this blessing that the Lord has laid upon our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're blessed tonight to be in the house of God. We're blessed. It doesn't matter if you came from the guttermost. It doesn't matter the home life that you found yourself in. Thank God. It doesn't matter even the circumstances that you find yourself in today. If you'll get yourself in a position where the Lord can talk to your heart and begin to work you through whatever trial or test that you're going through today, begin to use these things to help you grow and develop, there's no telling what God will do with you in the kingdom of God. There's no telling how God can use you. Age is no matter to Him. Strength is no matter to Him. Praise God. We live in such a world. You know, somebody was... I don't talk as much as I used to. I used to talk a lot. But when we moved to Little Rock, my circumstances were a little different. I frustrated Brother Weiniger because I sat out in the congregation for about 2 years and frustrated Brother Leninger, I know. I was at a point in my life, I was wore out. I didn't know what to do with myself. And so Brother Smith come here, and I was already working with the media some, Brother Smith asked me to build a website, and then we got our video, and got the responsibility of the audio, and started incorporating all that together, and started publishing and broadcasting, and now, you know, we've got songs that we have songs, our songs on the web. You can listen to them on our website. You can download them. If you're discouraged at any point in the day, you can go to our website and listen to our songs. Hear these sisters sing songs under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. What amazing. That's amazing to me. I think about that. It just thrills me. I listen to it and I get excited. But anyway, they were somebody, so I had a friend that was giving me a hard time, Brother Phil. You know how some of them friends are. And why don't you ever get up and talk? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? And I said, listen, I said, I'm working for the Lord. I said, you may not realize it, but I'm spreading the gospel around the world. And that's the truth. I'm helping to spread the gospel around the world. And so that kind of, you know, that took the heat off of me for a few minutes, but I didn't know how to do any of that. I didn't know how to build a website. I didn't know how to record audio. I've tinkered with it a little bit. I've messed with sound a little bit. You know how it is? You take something and you make more out of it. That's what we're supposed to do. God has given you a gift. He gave out talents, and I'll finish with this. He gave one man 5 talents. He gave another man 2 talents. He gave another man 1 talent. And they took those talents and they put them to work. They put them to work. They put them to work. But that one man that just had that 1 talent, you'd think that with 1 talent, you'd think he didn't have a whole lot to
occupy his time with. You'd think he'd have had plenty of time. He only had one talent. You'd think he'd had plenty of time to do what needed to be done, but he didn't. The Bible says that he was afraid. He said, he told in the parable, I knew that thou wert an austere man, a hard man. And so he took his talent and he hid it in the earth. God help us not to do that. The Lord's given you things. Don't hide it in the earth. But this man, he took his talent and he hid it in the earth. And the man came along and he said, where's my talent? And he said, oh, you know, I hid it in the earth. I didn't want nothing to happen to it. Nothing to happen to it? You mean you didn't grow it? Well, no, I knew that you're an Oster man and I didn't want to lose it. Well, he lost it. Took it away from him. He said, take that talent away from that man. And you, sometimes you wonder why all the talented people can do multiple things. That's the way God is. He expects us to work and labor for Him. He doesn't expect us to sit and hide our talents. So He took that one talent away and He gave it to him that had five. Now, I'm not saying that. If you've got one talent, use it. You might come along, you have two. Three or four or five. Nobody's afraid of you working. Nobody's afraid of seeing somebody succeed in the kingdom of God. No one's afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that at all. I don't want to see anybody hold back. Be excited. Be encouraged. We've got a minister's meeting coming up, and we've got the men of God that are coming to this house, coming to our church to feel the Holy Ghost, to be moved on by God. Praise God. As they begin to discuss and understand the Scriptures and each other and the circumstances and things that are happening in the body of Christ, they're coming here. They're thinking about Little Rock. They're praying about Little Rock. They're focusing their attention on Little Rock. They're thinking about us. Woo! That ought to make you feel blessed. That ought to make you feel excited. That ought to just put a hunger, a desire down in your heart. Oh, God, whatever it is. Whatever it is, Lord. Whatever you'd have me to do, Lord, I'm willing. Use me as your will. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Use me, Lord, according to your will and for your glory. Hallelujah. God loves us. God loves this church. Praise God. I'm glad to be a part of it. Blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
tonight and all the good words that we've heard, good testimonies, and feeling the Spirit of the Lord come in. And I do want to be used of the Lord and in a good way, Sister Lynette. And you can be a vessel of honor, or you can be a vessel of dishonor, too. I sure don't want to be the latter. So I pray the Lord will, help me in everything. But I love him. I appreciate him. So good to have our visitors here with us tonight. And so Sister Cindy asked me if I'd do this song, so I'll do this.
This day we're living in, the way you speak, Lord, is through men. Your trumpet is sounding all around. The day is drawing near. If I'm not close, Lord, I won't church is rising higher. It will be greater than the former. Oh, it is being led by your ministry. To have my heart circumcised so that I'm sensitive to your spirit, to be that you have shown me a better way. Don't ever let me fall asleep. I know the enemy is there to try to catch me
been a good day. You can just remain standing. We'll close here, but he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I want to know his voice. Hallelujah. That's what we're working on, to grow to a place to where we're following the voice of the Lord. Amen. All right. Remember, Brother and Sister Coles and brought some things from the folks in their church, and they need us to help them out. And so it's out there in the foyer when you leave. If you'd like to help them out, we'll give them a love offering. That's all they're asking for. Let's give God a praise. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. God, for your good spirit. Blessing us with your presence, Lord. The good words that we've heard and the songs and the worship, oh God. Help us, oh God, direct our steps this week. Use us, oh God, for your glory. Your people, oh God. Amen and amen. All right.